Free Radio Santa Cruz, 101.1 FM. The microphone squeak. So, as I mentioned earlier, we have a couple people here in the studio, three folks, in fact, who were present at during the raid of the South Central Farm earlier this week, yesterday morning. And so, without further ado, basically, I'd just ask you to talk about your arrival at the farm and your time there a little bit.
We were at the farm yesterday at 5 a.m. when it was evicted. That was the second night that we'd spent there. We had arrived there the previous night. A friend of ours was involved in the place and was really passionate about the farm, really excited about it, really wanted us to see it, so we went there with him. And the first thing that struck me about it was just the size and scope of the place. You know, two full city blocks, like 14 acres, green space as far as you can see, which in South Central Los Angeles it just never happens. There's no other space like that in Los Angeles. I used to live in LA, and there's nothing like that. You know, there's no space where water can enter the soil. There's no space where, you know, where plants can grow to process the air into oxygen we can breathe. And so to see that space, you know, broken up into 300 some plots for, you know, for people to farm was amazing. It was almost unreal. It was really exciting for us. And, you know, the garden, it's been there since, you know, 14, 15 years ago. It's fed, you know, it feeds 2,000 people, you know. Someone told me today, I learned that it was the primary means of subsistence for 60 families, you know. And it serves the garden served the interests of, let's say, not just 2,000 people in Los Angeles, but 2,000 of the poorest people, 2,000 of the people who have the least access to resources there. The people who use the garden, in fact, had raised, you know, $6 million to, you know, which was even more than the owner of the property had paid for it. They'd raised that money to buy it from him. As I understand it, he was in the media yesterday saying that he wouldn't sell it to them for $100 million, you know, that he's just, that's the kind of person he is, and that's what he thinks about those kind of people, which is just unconscionable, you know. I can't. And when the police came in to evict, they were, you know, the garden is decorated with all of these beautiful signs and beautiful posters and banners, you know, save our farm, you know, we're here and we're not going anywhere, multilingual, you know, beautiful colors. And the police were tearing those down off the walls and taking photographs of each other, holding them, you know, to show their power, you know, to enjoy, I guess, the feeling of being more powerful than working people who need to survive, you know. And also, incomprehensibly, to destroy some of the last of the ecosystem in Los Angeles, you know, that makes it possible for them to drink the water and be healthy, that makes it possible for them to breathe the air and not get asthma, for their children to grow up without, you know, being ill. But some people, I suppose, will follow orders, even if those orders tell them to destroy things that are precious to people, even if those orders tell them to herd Jewish people into death camps, they'll follow orders.
So you mentioned the length of time the farm's been there, you know, for more than a decade, and this campaign has been ongoing, you know, for years and years, but there's been such a buildup just within the last couple weeks with, you know, an eviction at any time. I'm wondering if someone could talk about the preparation for this raid, because a lot of people were, you know, a lot of people were camped out, a lot of people were there in solidarity, people were holding events and raising funds, and there's a lot of consciousness raising and awareness raising. But at the actual farm, what kind of preparation was there for what happened yesterday morning?
When we were at the farm, it had been occupied by the people who were spending time making it what it is for more than 2 weeks.
For 22 days,
20 some days. Their protection system and the farm itself were, to me, it was tangible proof that the things that I believe in and the kind of world that I want to live in is possible. Things I believe in, like freedom and abundance and self-organization. They had escape routes for everyone. They had several different layers of protection from people walking out peaceably to locking down to tarmac and tree sits. They had a large kitchen that served vegetarian and vegan meals all day long. They had a first aid tent. They had everything that it would take to protect it and to not back down in protecting it.
So the tree sits and the celebrity support is what's all over the media. I picked up at a cafe this morning. I picked up USA Today and had a picture of Daryl Hannah up in the tree. And the first words of the article, the first word was Daryl Hannah was. I mean, that was the lead in the article. That was the headline. That was the photo. That was obviously, you know, part of a, you know, just the outreach, but part of the campaign to bring, you know, attention and awareness to this. But how did, you know, having a couple celebrities up in the tree work? How did that help?
Well, I'll say celebrities are people too, so they're welcome to engage in resistance. And I can't necessarily blame Daryl Hannah for the way that the media handled this, but I will say we live in a society in which Daryl Hannah is more of a human being than the 2,000 people who ate from that farm, than the hundreds, thousands of people who organized together to make it possible for the farm not just to exist for the last 3 weeks, but for the last 15 years. And that we never hear about them in the media, and that we never hear thus about our own power to collectively organize, is part of the same system by which one man can, you know, at the snap of his fingers, take a means of sustenance away from thousands of people simply because he wishes to. That's, you know, capitalism. That's the system of in which resources are subject to private or corporate ownership regardless of the needs of people, you know. And as my friend said, the organizing at the farm was amazing, and it was only because, you know, the Los Angeles Police Department have all of the resources of the most powerful empire in the history of the world at their disposal that they were able to take over the farm. And I think that if all of the people who would rather that farm was in the hands of the people who actually worked the land, rather than in the hands of police and in the hands of this rich person. And if all of the people who believed that were to take action the way that the hundred some people who were organizing around the farm in the couple days leading up to the eviction took action, that the farm would still be in our hands, of course, you know.
So that man is Mr. Horowitz. I'm wondering if anyone wants to give any information or talk about their feelings or reaction to that particular individual. And again, I'll give out his phone number here and fax number if you're interested in trying to get a hold of him. It's area code 310-440-7878, extension 24. His fax, which may be working, the mailbox, the voicemail box is full. The fax number is 310-440-7877. This is Ralph Horowitz, and you know, there's been negotiations back and forth, and he's, you know, like you said, come out in the media saying that he wouldn't sell for any amount of money. I don't know. It's a lot of people are having some pretty visceral reactions to seeing his face and hearing what he has to say. Was he on the minds of people yesterday morning, or were they more focused on the police? Or, you know, is this a person that has he had any contact with the people at the farm?
Ralph wasn't the person who came in and tore the banners off the walls. And alone, he would be harmless. He's only dangerous to other people's lives because there are people who are willing to follow orders rather than the dictates of their own consciences. There are always going to be, in any society, there are always going to be people who have poor social skills or, you know, conduct themselves in absurd ways, you know, and that's often trotted out as an argument against a society based on consensus rather than authority. But this society based on authority and on capitalism puts the people that have the least social skills and the least feelings of responsibility to their fellow creature in the positions of the greatest power by rewarding them for their heartless and merciless activity. And so while I feel anger at Ralph, I feel even more strongly a desire for us to organize a world in which these people are harmless, because that's possible.
So you got there, you know, in the midst of all this preparation. Can you talk about what you saw and what happened on the morning, yesterday morning when the raid began?
I woke up around a little before 5 in the morning. I was waiting in the van near an escape route. I woke up to a line of police cars blocking in every car parked on the street. And riot police marching with shields, battering rams, and everything towards the front gate, and some of them dropping off by the side gate, the agreed rendezvous point to escape. That's what I woke up to seeing, and then shortly thereafter, I heard attempts to get into the vehicle I was in, along with flashlights searching inside. I learned from friends of mine doing bike patrol beforehand that at around 4:50 or 4:45, there were individuals from the media setting up cameras and setting up shots with, you know, to broadcast live before the police even arrived, which
embedded reporters.
Exactly.
In the war against people in South Central.
Yeah.
War against humanity.
Yeah, exactly.
War against celery. Shit.
So, yeah, that's what I woke up to. And I hid for several hours in the van. And with that, I eavesdropped on various conversations throughout the day. I think the thing that affected me personally the most was hearing the line, "The bulldozers will be here in 5 minutes." That affected me very deeply. All I could see from my hiding spot was a small group of sunflowers, and just staring at me the whole time I was hiding, and hearing that the bulldozers were going to be there soon, I felt completely, it was kind of a defeated feeling for me right then. Yeah, because there was nothing I could do for those particular plants and everything else inside, and the 2,000 people that benefited from this farm, along with the countless other benefits that this area and I think this society, our mentality, and everything got from the South Central Farm existing. Yeah.
I had stayed up all night with a couple of friends doing security watch at the corners of the farm. And at 5 o'clock, just as the sun was starting to rise, I was actually inside the farm when I heard radios and air horns letting us know that the raid had started. And I went to wake up my friends and make sure that we all got our belongings and were able to keep together and keep ourselves in whatever positions we wanted to be in after that. It was so striking to see the lengths that people will go to destroy things that the communities organize, and it breaks my heart to think about hearing the bulldozers will be here in 5 minutes. It breaks my heart to think about the fact that the garden has been bulldozed now. It breaks my heart to have to talk about this in the past tense.
I think it's worth taking into account, or worth recording this for history, that the police, the sheriffs specifically, had assured the people occupying the farm following their negotiations that they would have a 15-minute warning. They seem to have made a mistake and given that 15-minute warning to the media rather than to the occupants of the farm. And in fact, they charged into the farm without any warning at all. They had been flying over the farm several times a day with helicopters. And often they would take the helicopters down very low to and turn the blades so that everything would fly up in the air from the ground as a means of harassment, which is in fact in violation of air codes, for air traffic codes. And again, humorously, when at one point one of the people occupying the farmland wrote down the number of the code they were in violation of and held it up on a piece of cardboard, suddenly the helicopter moved up in the air. And I can only hope that people will bring legal proceedings to bear against the police department for this activity. But both of these are examples for me of how little we can trust those in power to abide by their own rules and regulations, which are really only there so that they can impose force on others. I will say also that the efforts of the people occupying the farm and those sympathetic to them to resist these encroachments on their rights and on sane conduct of human beings and on the right of celery to be celery, for that matter, like you were saying, there were many acts of heroic resistance that should be celebrated and should be remembered, from the countless sleepless nights of the scouts who had, you know, for weeks patrolled the area and watched the police, to the people who, you know, who cooked food constantly at the camp to make sure that everybody was fed, and all the people who donated resources, to the people who, not just the Daryl Hannahs of the world, but the faceless, nameless, just human beings who chose to lock down, knowing that it wouldn't bring them any fame or fortune, you know, and to lock themselves to tarmac barrels, which, you know, the police apparently put fire blankets over them and, you know, sawed into the barrels. And also to the protesters who gathered outside of the farm as soon as it was evicted, and many of whom were arrested for blocking traffic. I hope that history will also record that that people dragged mattresses and dumpsters into the road and turned them over to create barricades in the area to stop traffic and to make people aware of the injustice that was being done. And I think that it's not too late to do that. If people in Santa Cruz or in Los Angeles or San Francisco, in San Diego, you know, at this moment, right now, want to go to a prominent intersection in their town and, you know, drag a dumpster into it and turn it over and leave a banner saying solidarity with the farmers of South Central, that's the way that we can send a message to the government of California that the rights of millionaires are not more important than the rights of individuals, and that we free human beings, you know, of any economic standing, will take it upon ourselves to make business as usual impossible until, you know, justice is done.
So specifically for the farm, what now in terms of the development, the project that's going forward? There's been a couple different things put forth, whether it's going to be warehouses, whether it's going to be developed into this big complex. I was reading here earlier, this says that the plan is a 300,000 square foot shopping center that is going to, quote, fill a major void in the community, and that will also eliminate blight in the community. And that's the language they're using for the new development project, that it's going to fill a void and eliminate blight. you know, that apparently that's what the farm was in the eyes of these people. There's a blight on the community. And
I think we can all agree that shopping centers and Walmarts are blights on the community. And I think that personally, knowing that the farm doesn't exist anymore has created a huge void in LA and in the hearts of the people who were involved with that project.
Just to speak to where the farm came from in the first place and what it's going to take to build another community resource like that, you know, not a shopping mall, which I understand that corporate executives regard as, you know, they regard it as a deficiency when there isn't a shopping mall in a community. And indeed, there were no shopping malls in that neighborhood. There was a space where people could come together freely without having to exchange money or products to interact. But as far as what it'll take to bring a real community space back to that neighborhood, now that the LAPD has won this particular engagement, it might be possible for the space to be reoccupied before the building begins. It might happen that something happens to the building in the process of their putting up this Walmart warehouse, or now that they've changed their tune, shopping mall. We'll see. But the thing to bear in mind is that that space was opened up in the first place in the wake of the Los Angeles riots in 1992. And if there are to be community spaces, apparently the message that the Los Angeles Police Department and city government is sending us is that what we need to do is riot. What we need to do is tear down buildings and open up spaces where plants can grow. And I think the people of Los Angeles and, you know, and hopefully the world are receiving this message loud and clear.
Well, I hope it's loud and clear on the air here. You're listening to Free Radio Santa Cruz, and we're talking with three individuals who were down at the South Central Farm in the day before and day of the unfortunate, obviously, the tragic raid where LAPD officers, county sheriffs, and other officials, armed officials, raided and began the destruction of a plot of land that was one of the largest urban gardens this country's seen. Is there anything else any of you would like to say and jump on?
I would like to say that there, in conversations between the sheriffs and the people defending the farm, the sheriffs did express as people, you know, the fact that they thought the farm was a value, like valuable to the community and like a very good resource, and you know, didn't want to, you know, didn't have the desire to get rid of it. But I mean, they did, you know, they completely, you know, just put their hearts, their minds, and themselves completely second or third or fourth or wherever in the line to orders, you know, to keeping their job, to money, to you know, whatever is on their list of what's really important to them. And I don't know, I think that kind of mentality is incredibly destructive to people, to culture, to communities, to the world. And I don't know, I think that definitely collectively minded people, and people who care about, you know, themselves and their surroundings, it would definitely benefit us to talk and about these things and talk about the things happening in our communities and talk about ways we can support this struggle amongst many others. Because there are definitely people who are going to put their hearts with the similar feelings, perhaps later down the line, and put interests that are directly against what we feel and believe first. So, and I think as times go on, there seem to be much more direct actions against people who are trying to live honestly. And I don't know, I'm trying really hard, and I would definitely like to encourage everyone to really, like, we have a lot of power in ourselves, and we have even more power together, and we can do something. And I mean, everyone as an individual and everyone as a collective of individuals can directly do something, you know, be it making barricades, be it raising awareness, be it taking to the streets, be it whatever the person feels represents themselves. And I don't know, I would just like to strongly, strongly encourage everyone to just do what they believe.
I think for me, one of the few things that could begin to redeem the loss of the South Central Farm is if every time something like that, some beautiful thing, is destroyed, 5 or 10 or 100 more are started in their place. The empty lot across the street from your house could be the next South Central Farm. And I think that it's really important to remember that while our enemies have money and power and weapons and everything that money can buy to turn against us, we have our hearts and we have the ability to work with each other, and they don't have that and they never will. So I think it's important not to give up hope and to keep on working on our own projects, to continually start new projects to make up for the ones that are destroyed.
I just want to thank you very much for putting this subject on the air and for giving us an opportunity to speak about it. I think that's really important. And we can't trust the mainstream media to report what's going on. They would never interview us, and if they did, they wouldn't distribute, you know, in their entirety, the transcripts of the interviews. We need to build up our own media, as well as we need to build up our own public spaces and connections in our communities. So thank you very much for giving us this forum in which to speak and for doing what you're doing.
Thanks for coming down here, hanging out in the basement. What you're saying, you know, about starting the next farm. Hey, seeds grow. No matter whose land it is, seeds will grow. So get out there and plant them.